This is a good verse also. Yada yada hidonasa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Anyway, we all know this verse, so we can all chant it together, all at the same time. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata adbhutanam dharmasya tadatmanam sijam yaham. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam sijam yaham. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata adbhutanam madhamasya tadatmanam sijamyaham. Yada yada. Whenever and wherever. He. Certainly. Dharmasya. Of religion. Glanir. Discrepancies. Bhavati. Become manifested. Bharata. O descendant of Bharata. Abhyutanam, predominance, adharmasya, of irreligion, tada, at that time, atmanam, self, shijami, manifest, aham, I, translation. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time, I descend myself. Om Ajnana Tamaranda Syajananjana Shalakaya Chaksuhunnanitam Yunatasmai Sri Guru Venamaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pandhum Lam Jayati Agirim Yakripatamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dini Tarino Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vahevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Mahavanadaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tvashe Namaha Vairagya Vidjini Jabakti Yoga Shikshashtamika Purusha Purana Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sarere Rare Kripam Buru Yashtamaham Prabhaje. So before all of you think, he does know he's speaking on Gaur Purnima, not Bhagavad Gita. Yes, but let's examine a very interesting and important fact here. This verse in the fourth chapter of the Gita, this particular one right here that we're all very familiar with, the ABCs of our spiritual life, is the true, factual, and most basic point of Mahaprabhu's appearance. Is this not the circumstances we find ourselves in here in the Kali Yuga? A rise in irreligion and a fall in all religious practices. Now, there are many things going on under the guise of so-called religion, but almost 100%, we can see that these activities are not genuine religious activity. At the best, it's shadow religion. At the best, it's a little bit of some social presence of being religious. But the embracing of true religious principles, the embracing of the identity of the soul, the embracing of unalloyed prema bhakti is unknown in Kali Yuga. And it's becoming worse and worse. Now, we're only 5,000 years into this. So, you know, it's going to get a lot worse than it is now. I mean, not quite so bad as when the Kalki avatar comes in a few thousand years and kind of takes a much more drastic approach to things, we can say. But the world we're living in is mostly irreligious. You drive down the street, you turn on the television, you listen on the radio, you talk to the people, you look at the news. All of this is filled with things that do nothing but pollute our consciousness with impure thoughts, impure desires, impure activities. This is the nature of Kali Yuga. This is the qualifying factor of Kali Yuga. Vice, irreligious activities, cheating, lying, sinful life, and so on and so on and so on. This is the accepted behavior. There was a lecture in South Africa Srila Prabhupada gave in 1975. And he noted, in the previous ages, those not interested in religious life was very, very small. He said, however, now the number of interested people is very, very small. This is Kali Yuga. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give Krishna consciousness to those who are not interested in the value of their life due to the darkness of Kali Yuga. This is the exact description of our modern day circumstances. The number of people religiously inclined is very, very small. And the number of people irreligiously inclined is growing every day by every activity. So this verse carries a very key important component to understand Mahaprabhu's appearance. Already at this time, Mahavishnu, Lord Shiva had appeared together as Advaita Acharya. Likewise, Lord Brahma had appeared as Haridas Thakur. Albeit he had the disability in his birth caveat that prevented him from being so socially accepted and prominent, but nonetheless, Lord Brahma. So these three great universal personalities, Mahavishnu, Shiva, and Brahma, collectively could not and felt themselves incapable of changing the irreligious course of Kali Yuga. Therefore, they understood, as this famous prayer by Advaita Acharya from the Chaitanya Charitamrita states, my dear Lord, if you yourself, you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if you yourself appear in order to distribute the cult of devotional service, only then will liberation be possible for all the people. Now, these are two very important words. Only then. Maybe sometime it'll happen. Yeah, if we do this, probably down the road it'll come about. No. Only then. Strong words by Advaita Acharya, indicating that, my Lord, you alone have the potency to deliver these fallen souls in Kali Yuga. And this was 500 years ago when religious life was much more respected. Now, interestingly enough, we find in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Sri Krishna himself also had the same thought. In the Adi Lila, chapter 3, there's a handful of verses that highlight this. For a long time, I have not bestowed unalloyed loving service to myself upon the inhabitants of this world. Without such loving attachment, the existence of the material world is useless. I shall personally inaugurate the religion of the age, Nam Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of the holy name. I shall make the world dance in ecstasy, realizing the mellows of loving devotional service. I shall accept the role of a devotee, and I shall teach devotional service by practicing it myself. These three verses outline the entire concept and understanding of Mahaprabhu's appearance. Compassion. I haven't come and given them love of God for so long. Concern. They will not have any way of doing it, and I will give them the easiest process, Nam Sankirtan. An example. That I will come in that role. All of his previous roles, he was as a Lord. Who can come as Varaha except the personality of Godhead? Who can come as Nrsingadeva except the personality of Godhead? Korma, Matsya, Ram, no one can duplicate these. There are so many imitators that try. But here he says, I will come in the role of a devotee, my devotee. And I will teach by practicing it myself. This is the meaning of Acharya. That I will set the example of how to engage in devotional service. So we see here that not only did the Lord's devotee, Advaita Acharya, Haridas Thakur, so on, see the need, but the Lord himself understood the urgency of him appearing in the Kali Yuga. Now, in the 66th verse of this same third chapter, we find a more detailed explanation of this point, and the third line of that verse is worth examining. Svabhaktibhya sudam nijabhajanam mudra upadisham. He instructs his own pure devotional service to his devotees. Upadisham, this word means to instruct. Upadeshamrita, we have this famous book that we all know and study and love very much. Upadisham means to instruct. And the word mudra indicates a specific hand gesture. Some people, they can't talk without their hands. Sorry, but that's just, you know. But this mudra, there are certain mudras, and Mahaprabhu gives instruction with this mudra. And this is the distinguishing characteristic that's always visible in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he gives instructions. Sometimes his instructions are very lofty, sometimes they're a bit particular. When Mahaprabhu was holding his school, we'll get into this later, but during his school teacher days, when the class would assemble, he would then look over the class. And whoever did not have tilak on, he would send them out. You don't have tilak. You obviously haven't done your morning duties yet. How can you come for study if you haven't done your morning duties? Go. So, a simple little instruction. So this is, you know, just one example there. So we can see this is the pose that Mahaprabhu, the position, the display that Mahaprabhu gives is to show example, to teach. Nija bhajanam mudra upadisham, instructing the mellows of his own pure devotional service. Now, if anyone else tries to tell you exactly how you should serve them, what the particulars are, it comes off as nothing more than arrogance. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as prayed for by Dvaitacharya, as confirmed by his own, he can do this thing. So in order to deliver all the conditioned souls of Kali Yuga and to instruct them, the Lord and his devotees, they decided they must personally come. Personally. Not send a representative. There are so many representatives in the history of in the history of different religious traditions, there are so many representatives that give the message of Mahaprabhu, that give the message of Sri Krishna. This time, Mahaprabhu decided, I must come and do it myself. This means it's a very dire situation. If the head of an organization, the topmost person, sends his representative, okay, you go and take care of this. No, this is probably not something so important. But if they decide, I must go myself, and that means it's very essential. So this is the mood Mahaprabhu has. I must personally go. No one can set this example like myself. So to facilitate this, many of the Lord's eternal associates, they appear in various roles that will help bring this action forward. His elders, his guru, his parents, and so forth, people like this. So to this end, we find Jagannath Mishra and Sachimata are in the role as Mahaprabhu's mother and father. Their life was only about having Nimai Pandit as their son. So it's perhaps helpful for us to take a larger look at their life and their relationship with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jagannath Mishra, he was born in South Dhaka in Sylhet. And he was born into a very, very devoted Brahmana family. His grandfather was Madhu Mishra. And Madhu Mishra had four sons. Upendra, Rangada, Kirtida, and Kirtavasa. Now, his mother and father, his father was Upendra, and his mother was Kalavati. They had seven sons themselves. This would be Kamsari, Paramananda, Padmanabha, Sarveshwar, Jagannath Mishra, Janardhan, and Trayokanath. So these were the family members that came even before Jagannath Mishra and Sachimata. Now, according to Gaura Gonadesha Deepika, our topmost authority on who's who, I remember in high school, you get the school yearbook, and you'd always check out to see who made the who's who list, you know, like who was really known to have done A, B, C, D, and E, you know. Didn't make it this year. So, but Kavi Karnapur, he has the son of Shivananda Sen, he has put together this list under the blessings of his father, with the confirmation of his father, the most eternal source of one, as to who all the different personalities are. There's similarly a book by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur confirming this. And at the end of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's book, there's a table of the two different books and how they confirm the different personalities. Very interesting reading. Anyway, according to Gaur Goneshi Deepika, Upendra Mishra was Krishna's grandfather, the cowherd man Parajanya. And Jagannath Mishra, well, I think we all know who he was. He was Nanda Maharaj. And previously, he was Kasyapa, Dasura, Satupa, Vasudev. These are all the different incarnations of the Lord where he comes and has his parents, and these are all the different personalities that he came with. And of course, the Queen of Braj became his mother, Sachimata. So in this way, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Gaura Goneshi Deepika, they confirm the identity. Now, Chaitanya Charitamrita spares no words in describing the wonderful qualities, the ocean of good virtues that Jagannath Mishra had. He was actually known by the name Purandar, which is a description of Indra, by the way. And his wife, Sachi, she was the daughter of Nilambara Chakravarti. Interesting thing is that prior to birth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his brother Vishwarupa, Jagannath Mishra and Sachimata had eight daughters. And all eight of these daughters died at birth. Now this set my mind rolling. We all know the story of Santanu and Ganga and how she married Santanu. He wanted to marry her, and she said, well, on one condition, whatever I say, you'll never question. Okay, maybe it works. So at any rate, they would have children, and each child was born. Ganga would take the child, throw it in the Ganges. Child would die, and Santanu would be like, bite his tongue, second time. Anyway, this went on seven. So finally, he had to say something the eighth time. He said, wait a minute, what are you doing? Okay, bye. No, at least give me an explanation. So as we know in the story, it turns out that these eight sons were the eight Vasus who had been cursed. And the eighth of the Vasus had a specific curse that had to live a very long time, his grandfather Bhishma. So not to get too sidetracked by interlocking stories, but as I read this about the eight girls, I thought, okay, who were they? There must be some identity. So I did a bunch of research. Not a zero. So I contacted a couple of friends of mine that are even, you know, like really, really, just like really know everything. They said, there's nothing, none of the acharyas say anything about this. So we're simply left with the fact that this is what happened. So after the eighth daughter departed, Jagannath Mishra performed a special samskara to have a son. Now this is one of the samskaras that are given by the Goswamis in Hari Bhakti Vilas, and it's a particular ceremony to bring about a male child. And not long after that, Vishwarupa was born. And Vishwarupa, it was understood, was a manifestation of Baladev and belongs to the same category as Sankarshan. So very connected there. Now, Vishwarupa, he was around 12, it says. Of course, this is a much different time and marriages were arranged much earlier. So he got wind of the fact that around the age of 12 that his mother and father wanted to arrange for his marriage. Now, he had been associating with Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya, by the title Acharya, means he was a teacher. So Vishwarupa was going regularly and hearing from Advaita Acharya and becoming more and more convinced about the futility of material life. So when it was understood that his parents were going to arrange for his marriage, he took sannyas, disappeared, and was never heard of again. Now, we have a lot of moms and dads in this community. You can just imagine you've given birth to eight children and they've all died, and finally one lives and he disappears and takes sannyas. and not take sannyas in the manner of Mahaprabhu, and there's some contact and not, gone. So this was very, very difficult for Jagannath Mishra and Sachimata. So they are eternally liberated souls, eternal associates of the Supreme Lord. So in due course of time, Mother Sachi conceived, and of course this was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nimai Pandit. At sundown on the full moon day, the month of Phalgun, 1486, the auspicious lunar eclipse was taking place. And during the lunar eclipse, the tradition is to everyone to go and bathe in the Ganga. And two sounds are heard during this time. One is the uproarious sound of Hari Hari, Krishna Krishna. And the other one is the ladies doing the Uladvani. Now, most of you know about this. Two interesting things about the Uladvani. Number one, men can't do it. They're prohibited. Ladies get the ball game on this. If they do it, shortens their lifespan. So don't try this at home, guys. For the ladies, it's required to put the hand in front of the mouth because the Uladvani requires wagging the tongue. And one should not show their tongue wagging. So anyway, just these were the sounds being made, the Uladvani. It was a very auspicious sound, and the chanting of the holy name at the time of Mahaprabhu's birth. During the time of Mahaprabhu's birth also, all the demigods, understanding what was going on, were playing all types of wonderful instruments. And Jagannath Mishra, Sachimata, residing there in Sri Mayapur, giving birth in this way, and it was so wonderful. Everything was most auspicious. The effulgence emanating from the birth room, the effulgence emanating from Sachimata, everything was divine. Everything was divine. Now, it's said that at childbirth, that there are witches, evil spirits, then other demoniac individuals that have a tendency to try and possess children. So there are different things done. And in this regards, Nimai was born very near a neem tree. And the neem tree itself is very antiseptic, but also mystically and spiritually helps to alleviate all of these ominous spirits, to remove anything auspicious. So in this way, the local ladies gave him the name Nimai. So when Jagannath Mishra came in and he and his wife Sachi looked at the beautiful, just effulgently magnificent face of little Nimai, they completely forgot themselves in their own excitement. In due course, Nilambar Chakravarti, who was a great astrologer, a very great astrologer, so he was called, and some of his associates, and they came and they examined all the different constellations and nakshatras and, you know, titis and everything associated with the birth of the child, and announced that this child will be the King of Kings. King of Kings. Now, we might think that in the sense of, you know, a great ruler, this or that, but we understand in retrospect really what this means through the agency of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Jagannath Mishra and the whole household, they were merged in the ecstasy of these predictions. All great qualities and attributes were given to the child. And so in this way, they were just swimming in an ocean of bliss, ocean of happiness. And this ocean only increased in its fullness as baby Nimai began to manifest all of his different childhood pastimes. These are all pastimes we all know. We've all been devotees long enough to know these, and so nothing's going to be any new or exciting. If you were coming thinking, going to get some new revelation today, I'm sorry to disappoint, but the pastimes are ever fresh, so they're always a new revelation. But at any rate, little Nimai would cry, as children typically do, but he would cry, and then the adults would come, particularly ladies, and they would sing the Hare Krishna mantra, the holy names to him. And in this way, he would stop his crying. When he was about 4 months old, he was moving about at this time, and he would throw things throughout the household, just, you know, toss this here, pull this there. I had a video of my granddaughter when she was about this age, and there she is standing in front of the bookshelf, not devotee books, fortunately, but just pulling one after the other off the on the floor. Everybody just thought this was so cute, and I was thinking, oh, God. But this is the pastimes of these little children. And so in this way, he was doing like this, you know, throwing these things all about. And, you know, then his mother caught sight of him and, you know, took him in and would lay down with him and chant to him as he would try and, you know, and then he would start to cry, and then she would chant some more, and then he would stop. And, you know, so whenever there was any bit of misbehavior or mischievousness or any type of crying, the only resolve was the chanting of the holy names. And this would stop him from his activities of throwing things about the room and things like this, you know. Now, you know, she never suspected that this is something wrong with my child. He's always causing mischief. She just, you know, he's a little boy. This is what little boys do, you know. So she did fear, though, that when he misbehaves, maybe some evil spirits are there, you know, and that maybe, you know, she wasn't giving enough of the incantations that a mother gives. I may embarrass my wife here, but my wife goes before our deities every day, and she's got certain prayers and things she does for this kid and for that grandkid, and well, even for me, and, you know, she's got this whole process, you know. So this isn't anything new. Sachimata was doing like this for Nimai, and when things would become very unpleasant for Nimai, she would think, oh, maybe my incantations aren't working well enough, you know. So they would start the chanting, and then everything would be okay. Now, at the name-giving ceremony, another one of the samskaras performed, Neelam Bar Chakravarti brought his entourage with him, and they decided to call the child Vishwambar. And in this way, the name Nimai was like his village familiar name, but Vishwambar was his proper name. And he was always very, very affectionately dealt with in this way. Now, the name-giving ceremony also was a time at which the inclinations of the child were done. This is done either at the Anaprasad, the grain ceremony, or when the name ceremony is done. And so Jagannath Mishra placed out in front, he placed some rice, some puffed rice, some gold, some silver, and a manuscript of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, it doesn't take a genius to figure out how this story goes. When the ceremony was performed, it mentions that the child ignored everything else that was there within his reach and picked up the Bhagavatam and embraced it to his chest. So all the learned scholars were very, very happy by this, and they said, Vishwambar, he will become a great Vaishnava in the future, and by his ascendancy, Vishnu Bhakti will spread everywhere. He will attain exceptional scholarship in all of the scriptures. And then the ladies, they all came and gave their blessings. Yes, yes, let Nimai be a great scholar. So this was another one of his examples, even from a very, very childish age, showing that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the supreme authority on all spiritual matters and should be embraced and accepted in the Kali Yuga. This is mentioned as the hidden meaning behind this pastime of him accepting the Bhagavatam. As Nimai grew and continued crawling and giving pleasure to his mother and father and the neighbors, you know, one day he was in the courtyard and he saw a cobra. And he thought, oh, I am Narayan. This is my Sesha. So he climbed up into the coils of the cobra and laid down and fell asleep there. And the snake did nothing, just sat down. Now, Jagannath Mishra came around the corner on this scene. He was, you can imagine, we're all parents here, your little 6-8-month-old baby is laying in the coils of a cobra. And he was very, very frightened. He began to scream and shout and cry, and the snake just kind of slid out from under the baby and slithered off. No harm, no difficulty. Everyone was very scared, but not Nimai Pandit, not little Vishwambar. And Jagannath Mishra, he had seen in this display the dormant identity and pastime of his son, you know, laying on the lap of Seshananta like this. One other thing that he was prone to do was he would go into other people's houses and do the same type of mischief he was doing in his own home. And tossing things about, sometimes taking sweets, you know. And, you know, it was the kind of thing where, you know, bananas and sweets would be given to him all the time, but he would also go and then take these from other people's homes. And this, you know, caused some disturbance. We recognize his pastime from Krishna's own lila. And, you know, he would, you know, if he found nothing to eat in there particular that was pleasing to him, then he would throw things about, breaking various pots and things of this nature. And this naughty behavior, quite the contrary, was actually a great source of pleasure to the local residents, to the devotees. They were very charmed by his activities, you know. Now, because he was son of Jagannath Mishra and Sachimatu, were very well-to-do brahmanas, he was decorated very nicely. We see our deities today, they're decorated so nicely with tulsi. But in these pastimes, Mahaprabhu, Nimai Pandit at this point, he was decorated with golden bangles, jewels, necklaces, earrings, armlets, so many things like this. So one day, two thieves happened to be coming by the neighborhood. Of course, this is what thieves do. They go by the neighborhood of peaceful, happy people and see what they can find. So they saw this young child, and he had so many jewels and ornaments and golden decorations. So they enticed him with some sweets. This is a practice we see even today with less favorable results than we'll hear here. But so they, somehow or another, they became very greedy, and they were able to encourage the child to come forward, and they snatched him right up and put him on their shoulders. It mentions a very beautiful painting of the two thieves slithering away with little Nimai and Vishwambar on their shoulders. And they were convinced, okay, we'll take him somewhere into the forest and rob him of all of his valuables. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead has two potencies. One of those is his illusory potency. And he covered these two thieves in such deep illusion, they were walking in a circle around the village and came back to the front door of Nimai's house where they had snatched him from. Quite surprised, how is this happening? This isn't where we're going, we're going to the forest. Someone will see us, we're going to get in trouble. So they set him down and very quickly ran off. So in this way, these two scoundrels were prevented from stealing anything. And whenever Jagannath Mishra would return home at night, he would search the house very anxiously to find Nimai. Where is he? Where is he? Where is he? And then Nimai would come running, and he would tightly hold him to his heart. It says, as if his very life had been returned to him. One day, Jagannath Mishra, Nimai was a little bit older at this point. He said, Nimai, go into my room and bring me such and such book. So Nimai went to fetch the book, and Sachi and Jagannath Mishra were stunned a bit. They were listening. They heard ankle bells. But Nimai had no ankle bells on. But as he had gone into the other room, they heard ankle bells. They were quite surprised. And Nimai returned, gave the book to his father, and then went outside to play. They went to look and see maybe some other child was come in the room. And they saw footprints. And those footprints bore the auspicious signs of the flag, the lightning bolt, the elephant rod, the banner, the lotus flower, so on. And under the influence of divine parental love, Jagannath Mishra and Sachimata were not able to perceive that these were actually the footprints of their own son, little Nimai. But they thought rather that our Damodar Shila, has manifested himself in a form and walked through our house. Oh, we're very blessed. Let's do a special puja to our Lord. So they did a very special puja and bathing and Abhishek and everything for their Damodar Shila. Now, Jagannath Mishra was a very respected Brahmin. One thing that a Brahmin does is always receives guests into his home. Atithi. This is the unexpected guest. Someone that comes without expectation, they're to be received very grandly. So in this way, regularly, he would have Brahmins. So one day, there was a Brahmin on pilgrimage. He was traveling through Navadvipa, and he was traveling with his deity, Bal Gopal. This is very common. We hear so many stories of the Brahmins. They carry the shalagram in a bag around their neck, or they carry the small deity they have in a bag around their neck, or sometimes in the case of the Goswamis, they would carry a very big deity. So in this way, he was carrying the deity around his neck, and he was offered residence by Jagannath Mishra. All right, so I'll stay here for some time. So Jagannath Mishra gave him all facility for being able to cook some boga to offer to his deity. So this pilgrim, this Brahmin, cooked everything, and then he sat down to offer the boga to his deity. But as he started the meditation upon his divine mantra, Nimai Pandit came in and began to eat all the offering. Now, the Brahmin was very much distressed. You can imagine you're making an offering to the deities and some child comes in and begins eating the offering you're making. Now, if this is your own child, you might just, oh, okay, anyway, let's just, you know. But this is the Brahmin guest. This isn't his child. And so he's very disturbed by this. He goes to Jagannath Mishra, begins to complain to him, this boy is disturbing my offering. So, you know, you must control your son. Just as our Mukhya was imploring all of us to control our children at the temple, Jagannath Mishra's guest was imploring him to control his son. So Jagannath Mishra implored the Brahmin, no, I'm so sorry, this won't happen again, please. You cook again and, you know, make your offering, and I'll make sure this doesn't happen. So, right, the Brahmin went and began cooking again and, you know, made everything proper. And they took Nimai Pandit to the next door neighbor's house. You stay here. You don't come. So he was in the next door neighbor's house. The Brahmin finished his cooking. He put the offering in front of his Gopal. Said his Achman, began to chant his divine mantra. And as he chanted the mantra, the Lord came and ate. Again, from next door. How he got here. So the Brahmin again, this is just, how is this possible? Everything's ruined. Everything's finished. How can I, you know, for a second time now? So Jagannath Mishra was greatly embarrassed by this. You know, he's invited this Brahmin into his home and his child is ruining the offerings. And so the Brahmin told him, he said, this is your only child and he doesn't know anything. And it's not really his fault, but he hasn't properly learned anything. I think it is simply my destiny that I did not properly make an offering and eat anything today. So this time, Vishwarupa came forward. Now, Vishwarupa has not left home at this point in the story. Vishwarupa begged the Brahmin, my dear Brahmana, please, I will personally take charge of my brother. You make the offering one more time. So it was quite late in the night, and, you know, the Brahmin, all right. So they took Nimai and put him to bed. Nimai's in his room, fast asleep. The Brahmin waited until the entire house is asleep. Now he quietly went into the kitchen and began to cook again. And he put everything in front of his deities, began to chant his divine mantra, and Gaur Gopal came into the room and began to eat the offering. This time, however, he displayed before the Brahmin his eight-armed form as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, holding the conch, the disc, the mace, the lotus flower, so on. And in one palm, in this particular form, he was holding a lump of butter. And then his last two hands were playing the flute. So in this way, when the Brahmin saw this, he fainted away and realized that this child is not just some mischievous child. So when he returned to consciousness, Yimai told him, he said, you don't reveal this pastime to anyone. He said, you have been my servant many, many, many births. And you've come here and you're chanting the mantra, and that mantra is calling me, and I'm coming to eat by your request. So this is only your own desire that I'm doing this. So anyway, every day the different activities like this of Yimai Pandit were going on. Now, after three additional samskaras, the karnaveda, the piercing of the ears, the namcharna, the shaving of the head, and the alphabet, they were given to Nimai. And it took Nimai all of 3 days to learn the entire alphabet. I don't think there's anyone among us that got things down that quickly. So he started to read and write all the different names of Krishna with the alphabet like this. And he would ask many things of his parents during this time of his life. He would ask them, you know, I'd like some pet birds, and can you bring me the stars? I would like the moon today, you know, and all these different things. And of course, some of the things his parents couldn't bring him. I mean, it's easy. Your son says, can I have a bird? Okay, you bring him a pet bird. Can I have the stars, please? Are you bringing me the moon today? And when these couldn't be produced, then he would start crying. And then, of course, they would start chanting. And then he would stop crying. So more of the same was going on in this way. Now, one day, he began his crying like this, and they began their chanting, and he didn't stop. And he continued on and on and on. And so finally they begged him, what will it take to get you to stop? He said, well, today's Ekadasi. And Jagadish Pandit, our neighbor, is offering some very nice grains to his Lord. I want those grains. So Jagannath Mishra was doubly puzzled. It's a Ekadasi he doesn't want to follow. Of course, what was that Prabhupada said before 8 and after 80? It's a Ekadasi he doesn't want to follow. And how does he know Hiranya and his brother Jagadish are offering nice offering? So just to satisfy his son, which Jagannath Mishra would have gone to the ends of the world to satisfy his son, he went next door, knocked on the door. Jagadish Pandit said, I must apologize. My son is requesting the maha you have offered to your deities. Jagadish Pandit was also, how he knows I've offered? I don't know, but you know. So Jagadish Pandit could understand divine position. So yes, yes, here, please, you take. And they brought it and gave it to him, and Nimai stopped crying. All of these different types of pastimes, you know. His naughty behavior and, you know, desiring things that were out of the ordinary. And, you know, sometimes he would, engage in, behavior that would cause the older ladies to come to Sachi and complain. And, you know, and then his father would get a little angry at the misbehavior and want to punish him. And then everyone would say, no, please don't punish him. Please don't punish him. We can't, you know, resist having him here like this, you know. So, you know, in this way, the relationship was going on back and forth like this. Now, as I mentioned, this is the point at which Vishwarupa takes his sannyas and leaves. So putting together the fact that Vishwarupa was going to Advaitacharya and becoming educated and receiving training and knowledge, Jagannath Mishra and Sachimata decided, well, if we prevent our son Nimai from being educated, then no one will want to marry him. So he won't have the idea that this material world is futile and want to leave home. So Jagannath Mishra pulled him out of his training, out of his education. His exact words were, better he should remain a fool at home than a scholar only to abandon his family. Sachimata and Jagannath Mishra were very pleased by this. Nimai Pandit, on the other hand, was not so pleased by this. So he started to misbehave even more. And one day he went to the rubbish heap. And he sat down there amongst all the contaminated pottery and things that had been thrown out there and like that. And when Sachimata saw this, she became so angry. You know, why are you sitting in such a filthy place? have so many places you can stay in the house. So he answered in a very philosophical manner, how can a fool who's never been educated tell the difference between what is pure and what is not pure? He said, how can the pots that have been used to cook for Vishnu possibly become contaminated? And what is more, how can a place be impure if I myself am sitting here? So he's revealing several things by these three statements. He's revealing that he's the personality of Godhead and always pure, and everything associated with him is pure, Nadia. He's indicating that I haven't received any education, so how do I know what's pure and what's impure? And then he's questioning, if it's in contact with the Lord, how can it be impure? So in this way, he places all these matters before Sachimata. And she wasn't entertained by this at all. She just grabbed him and forcibly took him away from this unclean spot and, you know, gave him a bath and then bathed herself because she had to wade into this pile of broken pots and this is and that's. And, you know, after this, she and the other members of the senior community, they approached Jagannath Mishra and said, you know, we have to allow Nimai to continue with his studies. It's the only proper thing for his energies and his education. So Jagannath Mishra agreed to this. So at this time, Nimai, his family observed the Upanaya ceremony, a sacred thread. And then at the fire sacrifice's conclusion, he went out and begged alms, as Lord Vamana had gone out and begged alms. And then one day, Jagannath Mishra took him by the hand and took him to the school of Gangadas Pandit. And Gangadas Pandit was the most respected teacher in the area. And he had his school for the boys, and he placed Nimai's hand into the hand of Gangadas Pandit and said, you please educate and train him. Now, of course, this continued on. This was where often he would have challenges with his friends there. Mukunda was one, and he would debate with him in the class. Mukunda didn't want anything to do with it, but he would find him and debate with him, and then the boys would argue with each other. And then the argument would go to their playground, which in this case was the banks of the Ganga. And then it would become a little bit more vigorous with yelling and screaming at each other and throwing water and even slinging some mud at each other. So in this way, these activities were going on in the school. But at the same time, Nimai's education was surpassing everyone. He was the topmost student, of course. After some time, Gangadas Pandit came to him and he said, I have nothing more I can teach you. You should open your own school. I will help you arrange everything. So in this way, he got a little older, set up his own school. Now, at this time, we find another important personality in Mahaprabhu's life, Ishvara Pandit, Ishvara Puri, is going to make his entrance. The first time they meet is not in Gaya, as some people think, but actually, Ishvara had come to Navadvip to visit his godbrother, Advaita Acharya. They were both disciples of Madhavendra Puri. And he came in disguise, tried to hide himself from Advaita Acharya, but Advaita Acharya could tell, oh, no, I know who you are. You're a great Vaishnava sannyasi. Please come into my home. So for some time, he stayed there. And he was walking one day through Navadvip, and he happened to encounter Nimai Pandit and some of his disciples. Now, he had heard of Nimai Pandit, had heard of his glories and his pastimes. So he asked of him, he said, who are you? What is your good name? And the student said, you don't know, this is Nimai Pandit, the most respected Nimai Pandit. And Ishvara pours, oh, Nimai Pandit, oh, please, you come to my home and we can speak. And Nimai said, no, please, you come to my home. Let me receive you as an honored guest in my house. So in this way, the relationship began. Now, there's a very important pastime that takes place here that I want to... let me just get this. So one of these times when they were together, Ishvara Puri had just finished writing a book, Shri Krishna Kathamrita. And he said to Mahaprabhu, he said, you are a great pundit. I have recently composed a manuscript about Krishna's pastimes. If you would please hear it, then I can put it before you, and you can correct any mistakes that I might have made. I'll be very, very happy if you do this for me. So in great humility, this topmost of devotees is approaching Nimai Pandit, because you're a great scholar, so you please help me out with this. And Mahaprabhu smiled at him and said the following, which I think is very instructive to all of us. Whatever a devotee speaks is dictated by Sri Krishna himself. If anyone sees fault in this, then they are simply a sinful wretch. Whatever poems a devotee composes, certainly Krishna is very pleased by that. Krishna accepts the mood in which things are offered as the most substantial part of the offering, not the details. So this is a very important point. None of us are qualified, capable, or able to glorify the personality of Godhead. But somehow or another, we endeavor, with a little bit of sincerity, hopefully, to place some words of glorification for the personality of Godhead. Particularly on these days, we have these opportunities to specifically mold our time around these. Much of our day is spent in different busy matters, in eating and sleeping, taking naps. So today, of course, there's no eating. It's fasting all day, so that gives us some time there. And then many of us have been fortunate enough to not have to do any work today, so there's some time there. So we have these opportunities on these days to be observed by engaging in extra hearing and chanting about the pastimes of the Lord, extra service to facilitate the celebration of the pastimes of the Lord. These are opportunities which we have to follow. This is our Vaishnava tradition, that we partake of all these different things that will bring us great satisfaction and give us great shelter. We are Kali Yuga beings. We have all manifested in this particular life cycle, as they say, here in Kali Yuga. But by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by the blessing of Srila Prabhupada, we've come to the path of understanding Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his divine appearance. So we take these opportunities to offer our services, offer our words, offer our prayers, offer our glorification, offer our kirtan. Kirtan is going on here all day. What better thing is there to do? So in this way, we've barely scratched the surface of the pastimes of the Lord. And having many, many times stood at this side of this Abhishek table, and now standing on this side, I know how anxious the pujaris are to proceed with the service to the Lord. And yes, we could go on for another 10 minutes, 10 hours, 10 days, 10 years glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But our goal is to facilitate all the services to the Lord. So we thank you all very much. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhutyanam adharmasya tatatmanam shujamyaham. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has appeared. He promises this. For what purpose? As it says right here, to show the role of devotional service as a devotee and instruct others in that way. So this is an opportunity for us to get this blessing. All of you will now get the blessing of observing the Abhishek. Sometimes devotees are not aware that simply by sitting and watching the Abhishek, one gets the same benefit as if one is participating in the Abhishek. So thank you all very much. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.